Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Perfect Bill, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time Hall of Famer. Of course, we're talking about the good doctor himself, Dr. Christopher Colin. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
Oh, hi, Sam. Didn't know we were still doing this. This is good. I'm glad we're back.
Yeah, it has been... Look, normally when we have, let's just say, extended breaks, I don't even... acknowledge it. I will tell you as we're right before we go on air, like, don't even acknowledge it. Who cares? This one was rather long. This was a few months. Even by our, like, we had people like, are you guys going to even put anything out before the draft? I'm like, I swear we will. Hopefully, maybe. I don't bet on it, bet online or otherwise. But here we are. We figured out a time and a space in the world where Christopher Colin and Sam Marcoux could sit down together and talk some Miami Dolphins football. So, yay.
Yeah. Yay, man. I know you've been busy. I as well. I'm in the middle of rugby season. Since we've last spoke, Zach's club team is ranked nationally. They have made the bid for the national tournament. So we have a chance for a national championship. That'll be in leading up to Memorial Day weekend in May in Elkhart, Indiana. That's fun. Near Notre Dame. Zach has been invited. Yeah. Yeah. Elkhart is what it's called. Yeah. Zach went to Tampa. We went to Tampa. I was just in Daytona Beach. My daughter got married. That's kind of a big deal. Amazing, amazing wedding. She was stunning. Groom looked amazing. We love him. And so, yeah, dude, my wife went to Florida 3 times in like a month. Bachelorette party in Orlando, Tampa for rugby, and Daytona for the wedding. Just unbelievable. 4 times because we had to bring stuff down for the venue. Like unbelievable amount of driving. So, yeah, really excited to be back and just hosting a podcast. What seemed so daunting in the past now is the most relaxing, cathartic thing I could be doing right now.
Yeah, and I, while we were gone, I learned as of right now that you had a daughter. I had no idea. So there's news, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, and she's now married. No, I obviously you're talking about your stepdaughter. I know her, of her. I don't think I've ever actually met her, but congrats to Sophia and... the husband, Mr. Sophia. I don't know his name.
Riley Ray.
Yeah. Don't give a shit.
Wow. Okay. We're back. All right. Nice.
But I was also in Florida. I was in Tampa. I did not. Apparently somebody gives a shit, but nobody invited me to a bachelorette party. So I'm a little bit sad on that one, but it's all good, man. While we were gone, my car got stolen. I continue to have, construction going on at my house, and none of my kids have qualified for any national anything. So kind of the same but different.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But that's okay.
Pretty very, very similar. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like right now, Chris. I'm looking at the camera feed for you and I, and this will probably be on a bunch of TV stations, and I'm closer to the camera than you are to yours. And my head is twice the size of yours. If you're watching this, if you're watching this right now, I guarantee you Chris's head is bigger than my. There, see?
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I did this on purpose. I'm sitting like 10 feet away so I look smaller than you.
I'm actually in the camera, but like my head is humongous on the screen right now. Oh, well, it just because I got all these thoughts about the NFL draft and the Miami Dolphins in general here, Chris. And, you know, if you're listening to this, chances are it is day one of the NFL draft because we are recording this the night before day one of the NFL draft. And you could probably bet on the draft. And if you're going to do that, you should do it with Bet Online because Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, proper player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And let's start, Chris, talking about the Miami Dolphins. Last we left off, I think we were talking about special teams. We never got to offense when it came to rebuilding this team in the offseason. Free agency has come and gone. We've created some new spots for some new players. And of course, the draft is coming up. Everyone, of course, it's a seven rounds of drafting. But this is the first time since Mike McDaniel has become head coach of the Miami Dolphins that the Miami Dolphins go into night one with a first round draft pick, number 21 overall. How excited are you? How excited is the fan base? How excited is Mike McDaniel to actually select a first round caliber player in the first round?
I'm stoked. Honestly, Sam, like, I love the NFL draft, but it's like been weird the last few Thursdays of the first round where we don't have a pick and you're just like, maybe we trade up, but we never did. Right. And you're just kind of like, I love the draft, but man, our team's not even picking. Cleveland Browns fans are going through that right now. I have a coworker. She's like, we're going to just celebrate Friday because like we don't even have a pick tomorrow. So it's cool. We finally have like a pick every day. First round's nice. We're later in the first. It's kind of like our curse in the 90s. What happened where we always were never good enough to win the Super Bowl, but never bad enough to get a high draft pick to fix it. But I feel like our team is good enough to where anybody at 21 can jump right in and really help. And I know Mac McDaniel's excited because I've read reports that he's like just texting Greer like every 10 minutes, like somebody else that he wants to possibly draft.
Yeah. I read the same reports that Greer's saying that McDaniel's just all over him. Like, check this guy out. Check that guy out. You know, it's almost a luxury for the Miami Dolphins because they've traded away so many first round picks or been penalized first round picks for some of the shenanigans that went on in years past. And I think you're right. I mean, it's funny that you say that whole 90s curse of never being good enough to win the Super Bowl, but never bad enough to get like that game changer of a player. We went through the bad enough to get game changing players, and that really didn't work out for us. We get either. I mean, Tua is still not a work in progress. I think he is our quarterback and he will be getting an extension soon, but that's the closest to maybe a game changer that we had as like a top five pick. So I'm pretty comfortable with the 21. I mean, at 2 years in the playoffs, three winning seasons in a row, we lost some really good players this offseason. We got some really good players back, but this is a chance to inject some much needed youth and talent at the same time into this Miami Dolphins team that's going to need to reset a little bit with the salary cap. And you do that by getting talented young players that are controllable on rookie contracts for 4 to 5 years. So with this 21 overall pick, I guess my first question to you, what do you think the Miami Dolphins are going to do? Are they going to trade up? Are they going to stay put? Or are they going to trade back? What does your gut tell you right now? Everything you've seen, heard, listened to, what do you think the Miami Dolphins physically do with the 21 overall?
Good question, Sam. I'm really thinking we stay put. I don't think with how excited we are to be in the first round that we're going to risk trading the early second or something like that, unless it blows our socks off and it's something worth the damn. No, I think I like the spot at 21 because you're going to get a player with a chip on their shoulder because they think they were top 10 and they weren't. Somebody that fell, possibly. We're a great team to play for. There's already been reports of, which is ironically enough, players in a survey also said they want to play for the Miami Heat because of the culture, the coaching, things like that. There's just something going on down there with those young coaches, with Spoelstra, with Mike McDaniel, where the players want to play for them. they're not chewing them out and grabbing their face mask and spitting dip in their face. And, you keep running until you're not thirsty anymore. Those days are over. We've talked about this ad nauseum. So I won't get too far into the weeds with it. But I think we'll get a player that's excited to come join a good team. Like you said, multiple winning seasons, two playoffs berths. And they could be that piece that helps put them over the top. And if you're an athlete and a competitor, you're going to love being in that spot. So I think we stay put. I don't see us moving up unless it's some dream scenario for McDaniel. Me and you were joking off air about Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. I think that'd be just ridiculous and just game changer for the league in itself. But I see us staying put and just taking BPA.
Yeah. So you say best player available, BPA. What if the best player available based on the Miami Dolphins' internal metrics is a quarterback? Then what do they do at 21? Do they take that quarterback and say, hey, he's the best player left in this draft? And yes, we have Tua, but having a substantial first round talent quarterback behind him, would they do that? Or do they have all quarterbacks taken off the board for the first couple of rounds and not even consider it?
Yeah, if I'm in the draft board myself personally, if I'm in the draft room, my draft board is BPA minus quarterbacks. Like you're not gonna take McCarthy from Michigan there. Or even if like I doubt Penix falls that far from Washington, but even then, I mean, do you really even want to? We're so close. That's the thing. Yeah. Sam. We're so close with Tua. You're not gonna do that publicly. It's just gonna cause issues. I'd say BPA minus quarterbacks.
Yeah, and speaking of Tua, it looks like he has a new chest piece on his tattoo, so he's got sure the does. Tattoo bug. If you've seen that, also you had mentioned Mike McDaniel.
I'm acknowledging Tua, by the way.
You are acknowledging him. He is the tribal chief. Yes. But you talked about Mike McDaniel, not yelling and chewing people out, but he is holding people accountable. Just a side note. Did you see that story that Tyreek Hill actually dropped that after the playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs, McDaniel basically told him, you're supposed to be the best player in the NFL and we're paying you all this money to play like that? I mean, I thought that was pretty cold-blooded and much needed from the coach. What are your thoughts on that?
Agreed, considering especially that Tyreek Hill came out and said he's absolutely right. He expects more of himself, and he expects to step up in big moments. That's what you pay those guys the money for. Now, it was a ridiculous negative 50 degrees, so it's really, I'm not hating on Tyreek Hill by any means, but I actually like you said, Mike McDaniel's got this reputation now where he's just like a kiss ass, so it's good to hear him do that, especially to the highest paid best player on your team, because everybody else below him now is like, oh shit, gloves are off. If he comes after Tyreek, he can come after Sealer or Duke Riley, so that resets the entire mindset of the locker room in a good way.
Yeah, and if the gloves are off, make sure you're not at a home game in January for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think there was like 100 people that had frostbite and had amputations because of that. But I digress. That's last season. Let's talk about what's happening right now. You talked about you think the Miami Dolphins will stay put at 21, and I happen to agree with you. Again, this is the first-round draft pick in the Mike McDaniel era. We're in year three. We just haven't had a first-round draft pick yet. So I think he is itching and chomping at the bit to get somebody with, at least on paper, the pedigree, a first round grade that he can fit into either this offense or this defense. I am curious though, because when you look at the Miami Dolphins draft picks this year, we have the 21 overall and then I believe 55, and then we're just off the board for like three rounds. And then we have, I think, 158 or something along those lines. So there is a huge gap in between that second round pick and then when we pick next. So I am curious of two things. I could see the Miami Dolphins trading back, not necessarily trading forward. I agree with you. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we have the capital. I don't think there is a need to trade forward. I do think if you stay put at 21, you're going to get a player, be it defensive line, offensive line, wide receiver, whatever you want, somebody will be there. But I could see them trading back further into the first round, further back into the first round, not out. So they're going to go from 21 as far back as 32, but they're not going to go out of the first round. And the reason why they would do that is, A, there's somebody that they value that they think they can get a little bit further down. And B, they could maybe pick up an extra third or fourth round pick or something like that that helps fill that gap in between that second round pick and that fifth round pick or whatever it is we pick after that second round pick. Also, the Miami Dolphins do have some leverage for next season. I believe we're right now scheduled to have three first or third round picks. So if they do want to move around or trade up, I guess they they could. I just don't foresee that happening. I agree with you. I think 21 is probably where we're going to see our first pick. If anything happens, I think the Miami Dolphins trade back, but not out of the first round.
Yeah, I just think it's McDaniel's first one. He's going to want to kind of let the draft board fall to him, maybe per the request or advice of Chris Greer, who's been in quite a few of these. And because surprise happened, man. We saw it with Tunzel. We see it every year. There's surprises. And, you know, in the instance, there is, for example, a quarterback there at 21. And we're not looking to draft him. But, man, someone is early in the second or something, and they gave us a call. I wouldn't be opposed to listening and moving back, especially if we can get a player. Get, you know, not saying I want him specifically, but, you know, who is it? The Higgins, T. Higgins. You know, they don't need a quarterback. But, for example, a team like that that's got somebody on the ropes that's asking for a trade and they need a quarterback – they call us and we're like, hey, we can take that player off your hands and maybe a third because we need middle round picks. I wouldn't mind it. But just, man, could you imagine we're all this hype of the first day and we trade back in the second round and we don't have a pick in the first round again?
Yeah, but that player specifically, if you put T. Higgins with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I'm okay with that too. I just don't see that happening because you have to pay Jalen Waddle, which we did pick up as fifth year option. And you also have to pay Tua, but if you had those three along with, you know, Tua throwing the ball, I good luck to the rest of the AFC East and the AFC in general. The Miami Dolphins are in a unique position here because the Buffalo Bills quasi blew up their own team. They had to, the salary cap is going to bite them in the ass. They're going to be looking at wide receivers early. The New England Patriots most likely are getting a quarterback because they traded away their quarterback. The Jets traded away Zach Wilson. They're now backup quarterback. They have Aaron Rodgers coming back, but he's coming off of a major, major Achilles injury. He's 40 years old. He's wearing about three tinfoil hats these days, so who knows if he's even going to be ready to go on Sunday or if he just banned Sundays because it's some sort of government conspiracy against the man. Who the fuck knows what's going on with Aaron Rodgers these days? So the AFC East right now looks, on paper anyway, like it's going to be a wide open sprint for the Miami Dolphins to take the AFC East title and host a playoff game, which is the next step of success for the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. So we talk about they're going to have a first round pick. We tend to agree that it's going to be the 21st overall. So who's it going to be? Or maybe better, what positions should the Miami Dolphins be targeting? I know you said best player available. So if it happens to be a cornerback, they take a cornerback. And yeah, I could see that as well. But there are some positions of need that are greater, in my opinion, than others. So how would you stack these positions, Chris? What is number one on your list if you are drafting for need in the first round? Where does your mind go? If you are Chris Greer and you got the hat on and you're drafting for need, where does your mind take you?
I feel like you can play this draft episode and repeat our past four draft episodes. And I'm going to say the same goddamn thing. The offensive fucking line. We need to just have an O-line where Tua has time to throw. He doesn't even need that much, man. He's the quickest quarterback getting the ball out of his hand. Just we need a line. We need a line that's healthy. Armstead's on his last leg. And if you wanted a stacked list, I'd say O-line, then I'd say linebacker or defensive tackle 2B, 2A, because all the guys we signed in free agency are on like one-year deals. We got Chubb and Phillips coming off of injuries, so anything there. And then, of course, losing X. You know, we got Kendall Fuller in free agency, but who knows how long he can play. I mean, so we're old in some spots, but O-line – and then front seven, when it comes to defense, is my top three, in my opinion.
Yeah, specifically, I think when you look at O-line, you're looking interior, right? Yes, we got, what's his name, Kevin Brewer as our new offensive coordinator, or offensive center. But they still need better interior play. And when you look at who might be in play at that 21st overall pick, the young man from out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, comes to mind. He seems like a guy that would probably get along with Mike McDaniel. He's a little bit weird. He's got the mullet. He seems like a Mike McDaniel kind of guy. Somebody that you see a lot is Graham Barton, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. Interior lineman out of Duke, if I'm not mistaken. I could have that wrong. But it's a lot of interior linemen that you're seeing mocked to the Miami Dolphins, which makes sense. They do need more offensive line help. Teron Armstead is back, but probably only for one more year. As it turns out, the guy that probably got more hate than anybody not named Noah Igbinoghene, Austin Jackson, got himself re-signed, actually before Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips and Javon Holland, of all things. But he really turned it around under the new offensive line coach last year, and he got himself paid. So we at least have our starting tackles. But you know as well as I do, we're probably going to lose people to injury. We're going to need to be shuffling people around. We have some depth there through the free agency portal, and we are going to get money come June 1st when Xavier Howard officially comes off the books. I think we're getting another $13-14 million that we can spend. There are rumors that the Miami Dolphins have talked to some starting caliber offensive linemen that are still out there and said, hold tight until after the draft, which tells me, if that's true, Chris, that they are targeting offensive linemen early and often. And if they can get somebody at that 21st or 55th overall, that's who they're going to go draft. And they'll tell this veteran, thank you, but go seek employment elsewhere. I also think defensive line, I saw, and I don't know who wrote it. I wish I did, because I would give them all the credit in the world, because it made me laugh while I was on the pooper the other day. And they talked about how the Miami Dolphins broke up with, Christian Wilkins.
They
broke up with Christian Wilkins, and on the rebound signed about 30 defensive linemen. Like, it's fine. We don't need him. We got him. Like, just hoard ourselves out to any defensive lineman that was willing to stick their dick in us. And we now have about 30 defensive linemen, but none of them are Christian Wilkins, right? Like, we're compensating for the fact that we don't have Christian Wilkins anymore. So as much as I like Deshaun Hand and some of these other guys, they're not going to bring what Christian Wilkins brought to this team. So when you look at this draft, there are some defensive linemen that could, if there's a run on quarterbacks and a run on wide receivers and a run on offensive linemen,
happens like every year.
Those defensive players, those edge players, and those defensive tackles are going to be there. And as much as Mike McDaniel, to his core, would probably love nothing but offense, he is going to have to look at Anthony Weaver, his new defensive coordinator, and say, I kind of owe you one, right? You came over here and we lost like three of our best players after we signed you here. I could see them going defensive tackle. So I would line it up interior lineman first, defensive tackle second. And I have a third, which might surprise some people, but I'm curious your thoughts. Where is there a third, or do you disagree with defensive line being maybe option two for the Miami Dolphins at 21?
No, I definitely, I said them and linebacker, my 2A, 2B, front seven on defense for sure, because those linebackers we signed look good on paper. Barrett or whoever, Shaq Barrett, signed, right. A couple other guys, 1 year deals, 2 year deals, like they're on the twilight of their careers. So, I mean, we got rid of Baker and stuff like that. It's just like, yeah, let's maybe get a young linebacker like a Jonas Gray from North Carolina. I really like, actually, local kid here from Charlotte, Ardrick Hill High School. I was live and in person as he absolutely fucking one man showed my Miami Hurricanes and just dominated with the interception, multiple tackles. Dude's measurements are off the chain. So if he's there at 21, or if we do move back to 28, 29, and we can get the middle linebacker from UNC, Jonas Gray, that would be huge. I wouldn't mind that at all. We kind of, you said it, we're kind of at a point as a team, we're kind of privileged where we can kind of, we got the pick of the litter. Like, we can be a little selfish here and pick somebody that's going to be a superstar at a certain position that, like, isn't the biggest need, like an O-line, and we're like, we'll still be okay. And, like, yeah, we haven't been in that spot in a while.
Yeah, I mean, we got the kid out of, and he's a kid, I think he's 26 years old, out of Seattle. I can't think of his name. Jordan Brooks, 27 years old. You know, and he's going to be a starting linebacker for us, along with David Long Jr. So, I mean, I don't know that linebacker, for me, is high up on that list, as high as it is for you, but you played the position, so I understand why you might be a little bit biased toward that as well.
And sorry, it's Cedric Gray. Jonas Gray is a former running back for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, he's also, I think Jonas Gray was on the New England Patriots as well. So thank you for that flashback. He has like four rings with four carries for 4 yards.
Didn't he famously have like 200 yards rushing in that Monday Night Football game and got the cover of Sports Illustrated, and Belichick benched him the next week because he was late?
Probably. Yeah, it's something. Yeah, he showed up late after a photo shoot that Bill Belichick set up as the GM, and then was like, you're late.
And Cedric Gray wore 33, so special little number in my heart because that was mine and Zach's. So
there you go. Here's where I think the Miami Dolphins.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Are probably going to go swimming, even though it's a crowded field. I think the Miami Dolphins are going to look at wide receiver. I got a feeling Mike McDaniel can't say no, man. He just cannot say no. And he's probably rubbing one out to the exam. He's probably trying to figure out how fast, if he can come faster than Xavier Worthy can run a 40. I mean, that's how fast he's probably rubbing it out to that highlight tape. I just don't see the Miami Dolphins not at least considering it. Now, Worthy will be there at 21, but he might be there at 25. He might be there at 27. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He might be had if we were to trade down and pick up a third round pick or something like that. I mean, it's risky, but if you do that and he's not there, that just means one of those other talents is, meaning offensive line, defensive line. But I just... there's something about that kid in particular that, you know, Mike McDaniel is just drooling, frothing at the mouth to design a play with his speed, Jalen Waddle's speed, Tyreek Hill's speed, and Tua Tagovailoa's quick release. I mean, Mike,
he's probably already have he already probably has an entire section of a playbook drawn up just in case it happens. And yeah. I wouldn't actually mind that, trading back five picks, getting a third, because Chris Greer has notoriously done very well in the second, third, fourth round pick area. So we need the mid round picks, and I would love to do it. If you could promise me the guy we wanted, Worthy, if that's the case, is still there five picks later, because we are notoriously getting jumped over for players that we want, at least us as fans.
But that's going to be the risk, right? I mean, you are looking at a Buffalo Bills team that, I don't know where they're drafting, like 27, 28, somewhere right in that range. They need a wide receiver. If they don't go out and trade for like a T. Higgins or something like that, I mean, they could potentially go and get somebody like Worthy. I think they're drafting 28th overall, in fact. But you look at the Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals very well could go get Marvin Harrison Jr. With their first pick, what, like fourth overall. They're probably not going to come back at 27 and get another wide receiver. But they may want somebody else, and if they can trade from 27 up to 21 and also give us, you know, I don't know what they have the 35th overall, they're not going to give us that, but if they give us number 66 overall or 71, we trade back six spots and we pick up a third round pick and we get a wide receiver, I could see the Miami Dolphins, Chris Greer, and everybody else looking at that and saying that's a value package that we can't pass up.
Yeah, no, I love that. Can you shed some light on me, Sam, because I haven't been on this. Compensatory picks for Wilkins and these guys we lost. Mm-hmm. That's not this draft. That's next draft.
No, that's next year's draft. So next year, the way the formula works is we currently should have 2 third-round compensatory picks, and we'll also have our own third-round picks. So we have 3 third-round picks, and now, different than years past, you can trade compensatory picks. Easy for me to say. You used to not be able to do that. So you can package any combination of those picks in theory and trade up, trade back, trade whatever, not only next year, but this year. So, I mean, that is some leverage that they do have. If they decide we want to come back and actually get a third round or fourth round pick, we could package 1 or 2 or any combination of those picks next year to come back and get a player this year if we really wanted to. Now, as you know, the average, if you're coming up to get a third rounder this year, it's basically worth a high third or low second next year. That's kind of the formula, how it's been over the years. So if you're trading third round picks, you're probably looking at getting a third round pick or an early fourth. I don't know that the Miami Dolphins are planning on doing that. They're going to need draft picks. And even Chris Greer said when they draft, they think 2 years ahead. So think about who's coming up for contracts next year and the year after that and who they might have to replace based on the salary cap. That means Javon Holland. That means Jalen Phillips. That means Jalen Waddle. Now, I'm anticipating that all three of those guys are going to be signed to long-term contracts. But if you do that, that means other people are going to have to come off the books. People like Teron Armstead, people like possibly Tyreek Hill in a couple of years where he becomes too expensive. He's in his 30s and you're starting to get negative returns based on how much you're actually paying that man. So that's where I think, again, wide receiver could be in play in this draft. Maybe not a 21, but it could be in play. Simply because when I look at who they signed back, they got Braxton Berrios back, which I told everyone he was not going to be back, so shame on me. Eric Ezinkama is apparently going to be coming back. You've got River Craycraft, which basically everyone from last year coming back. And beyond those top two in Waddle and Tyreek, that wide receiver room isn't very good. It's just not. I mean, they have their talents. They could probably be utilized better, but you need more talent there. And I think somebody like Worthy, man, I mean, God, I can see the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel specifically, saying, fuck it, send it. You're muted there, Chris. I cannot hear you at all.
Not only that, sorry about that. You can look back at the videos, the pictures of McDaniel with Worthy at the pro day. And
yeah,
man, it looked like two buddies chumming it up. They're like, you know, he's like, man, could you imagine me with Waddle and Hill? And he's like, man, are you kidding me? That'd be amazing. And they both have the just already, they're probably already just, he knows his scheme and McDaniel right. knows his ability. Really, really cool. If that happened, Sam, honestly, I don't think I'd be mad at it. I don't think I would be mad. I'd just be like, all right, we need a little bit more than fast receivers. Like, obviously, yeah. We didn't win a playoff game last year, and everybody was calling us a cheat code at that point. So we have to have more depth and be more well-rounded. But you made a great point. I was going to actually ask you, and I was on mute by accident, who's our number three receiver? And you rattled off all our absolute just practice squad receivers, basically. No offense to those guys. Like, that's who we're counting on if Tyreek sprains an ankle or Waddle's sick. Like, I don't know, man. It's very top heavy when it comes to our receiver room. So, that's technically a need. I mean, honestly, it's a huge upgrade. Our number three, if we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, Braxton Berrios, I thought, was criminally underused last year, but it's so hard to give him the ball when you have all these other players, including a running back room where Raheem Mostert had 20-plus touchdowns. Devon Achane had, like, you know, a million yards in 3 games. It's just so hard to get him the ball. So he could be used a lot more, but I think really with the new kickoff and punt return rules, that's where Braxton Berrios is really going to eat again, because I do think they are making kickoffs great again with these new rules, which you and I haven't even talked about, Chris, but I think, again, that's probably where Braxton Berrios is going to earn his money for the Miami Dolphins this season. And he wants to be here. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video, but when he got the call from Drew Rosenhaus that he was going back to Miami, he was just super stoked, super excited, which is awesome to see. You want to see players be here, and he seemed to want to be here. But yeah, wide receiver, I think, is there. I also think defensive back, in particular safety, could be in play, not necessarily at 21, but at 55. Chris Greer loves defensive backs. he just does. He drafts them. He signs them. He trades for them. He makes them somewhere in a lab. Like, he just wants all of these guys. I could see another safety. I mean, Jordan Poyer is a very short-term solution for the Miami Dolphins in terms of signing him away from the Buffalo Bills, which I love, by the way. He almost came here last year. Now he's here. It hurts them. It helps us. It's just high fives all the way around. Javon Holland's going to get paid. I think the Miami Dolphins are going to pay him, but we have him under contract for one more year. We also have to sign Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. That's a lot of money for one offseason. So I know it's sacrilege, but do the Miami Dolphins look for a second round safety to be a safety net in case Javon Holland prices himself out of the Miami Dolphins wallet?
I don't love it. I don't love imagining Javon Holland anywhere but Aqua and White. And two, I don't love getting a safety at 55 when we have so many needs. We do. We just have needs elsewhere in the trenches. You mentioned the defensive line. And then we don't have, as of now, as of the recording of the show, we don't have anything after that for a while. Right. So we're going to use it on the safety in case Javon Holland doesn't get a contract. Yeah, I just don't love it. Don't love it.
I hear what you're saying. I'm trying to read the tea leaves what Chris Greer has said, and we look 2 years into the future when we start putting our draft board together. And if they're looking at this and Jalen Phillips is coming back like he says he is, and I don't see a world where Jalen Waddle is not on the Miami Dolphins next season or beyond next season, somebody's going to get squeezed. And it might be Javon Holland, which, again, I don't like saying that. I'm a big Javon Holland fan. His dad lives down the street from me. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for me selfishly to root for Javon Holland. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a dick, but I could see like a Cameron Kitchens or somebody like that at the University of Miami, maybe coming back.
Great and player.
Playing for the hometown Miami Dolphins. Maybe not this year, but, you know, learns under the learning tree of Jordan Poyer, starts getting more playing time later in the season. And all of a sudden, oh, voila, we have a guy under contract for the next 4 years. That's cheap, controllable. And Javon Holland would net us yet another third round compensatory pick if he were to walk away and sign somewhere else. I can see the long game, something along those lines. I can also see them going, we went offensive line at 21 and we're going offensive line at 55. Like, I could see them doubling down and saying, we got to do everything we can possibly do to keep our run game sound and keep Tua Tagovailoa off his back. I can see that.
The funniest draft for the Dolphins in years. It could be very exciting or it can be very boring. It could be one of two where, like you said, it's just two offensive line. We're just fucking putting band-aids where we need to. The rest is great and take care of itself. Or it could be, we traded up for Brock Bowers or Xavier Worthy and we got Cam Kitchens in the second round and fuck it. We're just getting all the athletes and we're like, whoa, this draft is awesome. So it's like literally two different things we can do. It's tomorrow and this weekend's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to it. For the first time in a few years, I'm more excited. Like, I'm like having the fam over tomorrow. I'm leaving practice early. Like, we're excited for the draft.
So let me ask you this. I don't know that I'm going to ask you to predict who the Miami Dolphins are going to pick in the first round. There's just too many variables there. Think we've identified Chris is feverishly looking up names who's been mocked to the Miami Dolphins. Drake May. There you go. But what do you think? And this is your idea. So when you hear this question, just know that I stole this from you off air. What's the craziest thing the Miami Dolphins can realistically do in the first round tomorrow night? What would be the thing that you're like, wow, that is nuts. That is ballsy. I don't know if I would have done that, but I understand why they're doing it. Let's go. What would that move be for the Miami Dolphins?
So I've got one here that might be a little, look, we're back for the first time in months. I'm going to be a little controversial, Sam. Mm. I'm worried, not worried. I think it'd be okay. Do I think this is going to happen? No, but can I see it happening with the way the NFL is? And it's just like, oh, what a crazy draft night. Yes, I can see this. I could see a team being in the top 10 to 15, maybe top 12, that is not terribly in love with the quarterback. And us haven't signed Tua to his long-term deal yet. And I just find that suspicious. I could see the Dolphins possibly, maybe a team's in love with Tua. And he came out of Alabama and they've seen what he's done. I could see us pulling the trigger on a draft day trade, moving up. And they're getting Tua. We're keeping 21. And we draft a Penix or we draft a Daniels or whoever is there for the pick in the top 10. I think that'd be absolutely nuts. It'd be crazy. It would spin the entire NFL world upside down. Like the Vikings or something. But yeah, I'm not saying that's impossible. So you asked me for the craziest realistic thing, and I could see that happening. And I know for one, you and I both would lose our shit.
Right.
Because that just cured all your problems you just mentioned with needing money in the next 2 years, because now Tua's $500 million contract or whatever is not on the books. We're paying a rookie quarterback again. We reset that clock to be able to build the roster around them. And I could see Greer wanting a running quarterback, and that just happened. And that team agrees to pay Tua. That'd be insane. I don't want it to happen. I could see it.
Imagine Miami Dolphins social media, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, if the Miami Dolphins were to trade Tua Tagovailoa tomorrow night and draft a rookie. That would be
like literally just saying that is getting me like my face is turning red. I'm taking a deep breath. Like, could you imagine that? Me and you would have to hop on an emergency podcast.
I don't like my nipples are dripping right now, and I don't know if it's sweat, semen, blood. I don't know what it is.
Leakage from your roof.
That's probably what it is. It's pretty good right there. I like that. All right, I'm going to give you one. It also involves a trade, not of our quarterback though. Knowing Mike McDaniel's love of offensive playmakers, knowing where he came from prior to coming to the Miami Dolphins, understanding that there is a player on that team that is demanding a trade, that is very upset about not getting a contract from that team, and the friendship that Mike McDaniel and Kyle Shanahan have, I could see the Miami Dolphins trading the 21st overall pick for Brandon Ayuk and pairing him with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, paying him, figuring out a way to pay him. Yes, you give up a first round draft pick, which is more than what Stephon Diggs netted from the Houston Texans, but Brandon Ayuk is younger. Keep in mind, Chris Greer wanted Brandon Ayuk back in that draft, and the Niners jumped up and stole him from us. He has been on the Miami Dolphins radar for a long, long time. He brings a skill set that Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are not strong in that you could add to this team in an offense that he's already familiar with, by the way.
Right.
Imagine Brandon Ayuk, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle for 1 or 2 years, and that same scenario plays out. You're looking at this draft long-term, 2, 3, 4 years from now. Tyreek Hill isn't here. Brandon Ayuk and Jalen Waddle are your one and your two. And you have money that you were paying Tyreek now being redistributed to other players across the board. 21 overall is steep for Brandon Ayuk. But 21 overall to the San Francisco 49ers, they have 31 and 21 to go do whatever it is they got to do. And the Miami Dolphins get their wide receiver 3 in Brandon Ayuk, right. Weird to say.
That's how stacked this team is, that Brandon Ayuk would be the third receiver on this team. Sam, I think both options are phenomenal. Not phenomenal that I would like want to see it happen, but I think we both nailed what we were going for, which is like a crazy realistic scenario. 24 hours from now, about we'll be on the clock probably around 9:30. This could be happening. That's why we get paid the big bucks, Sam. We come up with these scenarios, we make people think. I'm sure we're going to piss people off. I'm sure I'm going to be a little controversial with mine, especially to all the Tua lovers.
Let's be clear. You're going to piss people off. I think if we trade the first round pick for Brandon Ayuk, nobody's mad at that.
Fuck, Sam. I can't believe you predicted that. Yeah, if that happened to me, sorry, guys.
Hey, just so that we're clear, because I texted this to Chris the other day. I was looking at my phone from last year, and I had a mock draft where I chose Devon Achane, number 77 overall, and at 240, Elijah Higgins, another guy that we drafted. So
sure did.
I sort of know what I'm talking about a little bit. I got two of them. Anyway.
Yeah, you got a connection with Garfinkel, and now maybe he slipped you Greer's number, and you guys have been sending WhatsApp texts to each other or something.
Well, Chris Greer's brother was busy today. He just fired the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, probably to keep his own skin, you know, intact as the general manager for the Sharks. But hopefully that doesn't happen for the Miami Dolphins. Hopefully McDaniel and Greer are here for a long time and they get it right, Chris. I can't wait for this. It's been a long time since we've had a first round draft pick for the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be fun to actually sit and watch this tomorrow. I'm sure there will be a reaction video. I know you probably already said it, but you're watching this at home with the fam and in the man cave, or what's going on with you?
Yeah. If all goes well, we're doing it in the man cave. If not, in the living room, head straight home from practice and watch the draft, man. I'm excited to enjoy it. I have an easy day Friday at work, so it's going to be totally an enjoyable night, I hope, unless we trade Tua.
Yeah. Well, oh, man, I don't know. I feel like they would do it just for shits and giggles. Like, they trade Tua. That would be my fear, too. Like, oh, we get Ayuk, and then we trade Waddle because, like, somebody has to go, and we can't sign everyone. And like, well, that's not fun. But it's going to be exciting. I'm going to be watching this from home as well. I'm going to be kicking the contractors out strictly at 5 p.m. Pacific time, so that I can watch this draft and hopefully in peace. That will not happen. My 2-year-old, almost 3-year-old son will probably just be climbing all over me. But funny story about him before we get going here. I'm outside the other day. The sun finally came out in California here. It's been rainy and gross. So Sunday, I'm in the backyard, Chris, and I'm just sitting there with my son. And, you know, he's almost 3, so I'm just kind of looking at him. Like, oh, look at my boy. And there's a bee, and this bee is just sort of floating around. Not doing anything, just being a bee. And my son's watching it for about a minute. He's just kind of watching this bee do its thing. And he turns to me and he looks me dead in the eye and goes, "Fucking bee," and then just walks off and like never referenced the bee again. Like, just moved on, like went and played with his trucks or whatever it is you played with. And I'm just looking at him like, I wasn't even mad about the F-bomb happening. It was just kind of looked at me like, "Fucking bee," and just moved on.
He was like, your son.
Yeah. I was like, man, I don't know who you've been hanging out with, but that's got to fucking stop right there. Whatever that fucking language is. Anyway,
listen to much Perfectville.
That's what it is. No, he hasn't. Nobody has.
No one has. Hey, by the way, the Miami Heat just won. So it's 1-1 against the goddamn Boston Celtics. So that's incredible without Jimmy Butler.
Tyler Hero basketball?
Yeah, Tyler Hero made it fucking rain with 6 of 11 from 3.
Oh, well, that sounds exciting. Yeah, basketball. Sorry. Yay. Mm. All right. Well, congrats to your Miami Heat. I think the Lakers are in the play. I have no fucking clue. I don't care. I watch Ohtani bombs, man. I watched Shohei Ohtani hit a home run yesterday. It was 150 miles per hour. 190 miles per hour off the bat. Like, it sounded like a fucking gunshot. It was amazing.
Yeah, I saw that on Reddit today. That guy is fucking insane.
Yeah, he really is. And you guys are all insane for sticking with us after whatever this is, 7-8 years. But it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll see all kinds of reaction videos. Shout out to Jeremy Hagan, a.k.a. JD FinFans, who actually posted his reaction to Tua being drafted 4 years ago, Chris. I don't know if you saw this on X or not.
COVID Vegas draft.
The COVID Vegas draft. And it shows him, if you watch the clip, you can find it. I think he tagged you on the old Twitter there. You can hear him celebrate because Tua was drafted. And in the background is our live stream from that happening. You can hear you going absolutely bonkers in the background. So shout out to Jeremy.
Oh, I've got to watch that. I don't know how I missed it. Yeah, I've got to absolutely look at that. That's amazing. And shout out to Race, who either died or I haven't seen him on Twitter forever. Maybe he just tweets when we do shows. So hopefully he comes back. We miss you, buddy.
Maybe Raced is the show. Maybe you and I are the alter ego of Raced. And when we take a break, he takes a break. No, I know exactly what's happening with Raced. He takes a break every February, March, for a little bit of time. And it just takes some time off from the old social media. So it's something that he does. So he took a break at the convenient time that we took a break. And he's back. I talked to him the other day. He's fine. Also, shout out to Richmond Webb, who will be announcing the second round pick for the Miami Dolphins, assuming we don't trade out. That's always the worst. Like, hey, we flew Richmond all the way to Detroit, and now you get to sit here doing nothing.
Well, and hopefully he gets to say the pick, and he doesn't have to use the restroom, and they pick someone else to do it, like what happened to you.
Well, thanks for throwing that at the end. Like, I didn't know who the fuck you were talking about there. You
hey, missed you, buddy.
Skylar Thompson. I would have fucked up his name. I would have said Brock Purdy. I would have yelled Brock Purdy and then ran out of there, and then we would have just lived with Brock Purdy. All right. Well, Chris, anything else you'd like to say before we get out of here? I feel a little rusty, but I feel good. I feel I feel like we did it. We got 45 minutes, and Braun from Believe's no longer going to yell at me, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, like, yeah, a little rust, but I think we just kind of picked up where we left off, and I think it's just the excitement for to get it, get back behind the mic, and then to talk about the Dolphins again. Like, I don't know, it felt weird being the offseason where we had so much hope and promise last season, but yeah, it's still there, and that's right. What's cool. So the draft tomorrow and this weekend is going to be awesome. I hope all of you in Perfectville enjoy it.
I hope you all do, and thank you for sticking with us. We appreciate everything that you guys do, which is download and listen. And on behalf of the two-time Hall of Famer, myself, the entire Believe Network, presented by BetOnline.ag, nothing left to say other than goodbye from Perfectville. Gonna break the 40-yard dash. Oh, yep. And Chris is the new leader of this. And he also gets back.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.